Well, that's a very dramatic way to open up my interview today with my guest, organist Tom Fielding, who's music director of St. Augustine Cathedral and the curator of a music series, Sacred Music at the Cathedral. Tom, it's nice to have you here today.
It's great to be here, Kara. Thanks for having me again.
And Tom, you are the star tonight. You've put yourself on your own series, which is very good for you as a musician. Once in a while, you really do need to step up and, you know, test your mettle with a solo program.
Yeah, we've been doing this series for 5 years now. And I've played a recital almost every year on the series for a number of reasons. First and foremost, because I love playing the organ and I love playing for events that are focused around organs and organ music, but also just the challenge of having to learn new repertoire. I mean, I don't want to say play the same program year after year. So learning new repertoire, and in the case of some of the pieces on tonight's program, pulling out some old friends, dusting the music off the shelf, and revisiting some pieces that I have a particular attachment to for this, that, and the other reason.
I did that the other day. I had a piece of flute music. I'm like, wow, that's a long time ago. Put it on the music stand, started playing, and started making all the same mistakes that I remember making 20, 30 years ago.
Well, I know one of the tracks we're gonna the next track that we'll be listening to in a couple of minutes is a Bach fugue, and pulling this CD off the shelf was so interesting. It was just it kind of made me laugh. It was recorded at the final round of competition for the Arthur Poister National Competition in Organ Playing in 2003, which is held every year in Syracuse, New York. I did win first prize that year, and I was particularly excited and very happy about that. And so, first of all, the piece has, of course, that sentimental attachment to it, that this is one of the pieces on the program. But I pulled the recording out thinking about this interview, and I listened to it, and I thought, wow, this was definitely 15 years ago. I mean, it is so fast. I mean, you can just hear the energy of someone 15 years younger than I am now just ripping through this piece. And some of the ornaments are different than I'm going to do them tonight. And just it was really kind of fun. I don't take the piece terribly slower now, but I think it's just a little more relaxed, a little more mature, less concerned with just showing off how many notes I can play very quickly, and thinking more, you know, as you get older, things that you start to think about as a musician, you start to think maybe more about phrasing and shaping and how can I really say something that's maybe a little more substantial than just, wee, I can play really fast.
Well, you should be proud that you've been able to mark your progress in that fashion, because I felt like I was just back in the same old rut with you know, all the same problems I always had.
Well, this another thing that was interesting about this, this is actually my second copy of the score. When I played a recital, I don't remember offhand what year it was. I know it was after the competition. I was playing this piece kind of around a lot, and I had a recital in Boston, and I was so nervous when I would travel, and still when I travel for things, that if I put my scores and my organ shoes in checked baggage, that it's going to get lost. So I had a nice little attaché bag, and I had things in it, and I had at that time, people were using mini disc recorders, if you remember those little discs with that used compression technology.
Yeah.
And it was an early morning flight, and I was in O'Hare Airport, and very absentmindedly got up and left my bag next to the bench. And then, you know, 15, 20 minutes later, realized, where's my bag? So I went back, and of course it was gone. I thought, oh no! So I went to the airport security and asked them if they had a, you know, in O'Hare Airport, you know, if they had a lost and found, you know, like that happens. And they said no, but they said, you know, this was of course, after 9/11. So they said that someone had turned in this bag, and they handed me the bag, and it was empty.
Oh no!
Yeah. So there's some, you know, some urchin out there running around with a pair of organ shoes that they stole from my carry-on bag. But that box score was in it. So when I pulled out, this is a long answer to your question. So when I pulled out the score earlier this summer, thinking, you know, that I would kind of revisit this piece, I had to do it with a blank score. So all of the fingerings, I don't know how they, it's been 15 years since I played the piece, so I don't know how they compare. But like you say, you know, you start to bring it back up and, you know, oh, wow, you know, this spot's still tricky, or this, oh, I don't remember this being a problem last time. Or,
yeah.
Or listening to the archival recording and think, wow, it sounded so easy. Why am I having such problems with it now? Or, you know.
Yes, from a musician's perspective, it's really good work to do to present a concert and sometimes put on new pieces and other times revisit familiar works.
Yeah, there's a number of pieces that I'll play tonight that are new to me. A set of five charming little miniatures. They're pieces by Joseph Haydn. They're written originally for musical clock. So that's a mechanical device. Think of a very large mantle clock that has a very tiny set of organ pipes in it, and it has of course, this is, you know, from before electricity. So the internal mechanism also operates the bellows, and it plays these little one minute charming little pieces on the hour. And they've been transcribed, and they're so much fun because, of course, they weren't written for a person to play. And so they have the whole unique set of technical challenges for the performer about how to, you know, with hands crossing over and doing all this kind of bizarre stuff and really, you know, very long, quick chromatic scales and just all kinds of wild stuff. Huh. Another piece that is really interesting, I'm going to play a piece by Arvo Pärt. So it's got a rather long German title, which essentially translates, "My path is full of peaks and valleys." And, of course, Pärt is a very, very, very spiritual person, very religious person. And his program notes, he talks about, you know, the peaks and valleys of spiritual life. I suppose you could probably say that just about life in general. Which to him, of course, is inherently linked to religion. But anyway, the piece, of course, really doesn't focus on melody and harmony so much as it does on gesture and texture. And he just creates these wonderful waves of sound that go up and down the keyboard with these sort of minimalist figures. And it's very, very evocative music. Really, really a neat piece.
Listeners may remember Arvo Pärt and two or three other composers in the early 90s setting themselves apart with their more minimal music and the spiritual component. Gorecki and Taverner were the others. And,
absolutely, yeah.
And classical music fans and on radio even, putting these pieces on really were stunning for people to hear.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's very approachable music, and I don't mean to say that in the sense of a lot of 20th century music is not. It's definitely in a modernist idiom, but its tonal language is a little milder. There are some really, really colorful clashes, particularly a G sharp clash that he uses throughout. But that lilting, this lilting, wonderful sort of buoyant repeating figures of the minimalist techniques really, I think, carries the piece. It gives it some energy, and it gives it a sense of direction, and it gives it, you know, all these things that more classically oriented music has that I think makes it gives the audience something to latch on to that can really sort of sweep them into this very, very evocative world.
Mm-hmm. And for a fairly famous composer, you don't hear his music very often in Kalamazoo, and tonight is one chance to hear music of Arvo Pärt, Johann Sebastian Bach, you mentioned.
Yes.
These Haydn mechanical clock pieces. I mean, who says people didn't know how to have fun in the 18th century? that's a
Well, that's if you believe Peter Schaefer's Amadeus, apparently so.
Yeah. It's tonight at 7 o'clock, and as always, it's open to the public. The concert is a free concert. There will be a free will offering accepted during the program. And my guest is Tom Fielding, who is the director of music at St. Augustine Cathedral and has many, many duties musically throughout the week and years preparing for services all week long. And it's great that you also run the series and have open concerts for people of any religion or no affiliation.
Yeah, I mean, these are truly public events. Back in the 1980s, the music director, the first full-time director of music at the cathedral was a man named John Balka. And he created, at that time he called it the Selner Guild. Father John Selner was a Sulpician priest, so a priest who belonged to the religious order founded in France at the Parisian Church of Saint-Sulpice, which incidentally is where Charles-Marie Vidor was organist. But anyway, Father Selner was an accomplished musician. He taught some theology in Washington, D.C. He was a chaplain over at Nazareth for the Sisters of St. Joseph. So strong Kalamazoo ties, but like I said, in his day was really known as an exceptional church musician. So John Balka formed the Selner Guild as a way to perpetuate his memory. He formed it with a mission statement to, quote, provide sacred music of a high integrity to the community of Kalamazoo. And so that legacy has stuck with us. So the Selner Fund now still is the funding resource for these concerts. And we continue to do that. We have professional musicians come of what I would consider to be a very, very high caliber. And we present things to the public in Kalamazoo to simply share our resources with the community to help to continue to beautify Kalamazoo. So I'm playing tonight. Our next concert will be on Friday, the 8th of February, and that'll be Jay Yao, who is the organist at Saints Peter and Paul Catholic Church in Naperville, Illinois.
That rings which a you bell. Were,
yes, we've had their choir out several times. Jay is a marvelous player. He studied in France for a while at the Royal Chapel of Versailles with Michel Bavaud, who is unfortunately has since passed away, and is going to play an all French program, some French Baroque music, and then this large, very little known symphony by Guy Vitz. And then on Sunday, the 24th of March, we'll have Corrado Cavalli from St. John Cancius Church in Chicago, which is nationally known for its exceptional, really wonderful music program, orchestral masses and all this kind of stuff. Corrado is a native of Italy. Wow. And has been the organist at St. John's for a number of years now.
Tom Fielding is my guest and performs tonight at 7 o'clock on the Sacred Music at the Cathedral series. When you call up organists around the country and offer them a chance to play on this organ, on this series in Kalamazoo, do you have to twist their arm, or is it pretty easy to convince them?
It really depends on the person. I have a pretty good sense of who's interested in playing recitals and who's very much content or happier doing service playing and choral training and that sort of thing. I get a fair number of cold call emails every year of people wanting to play on the series. So I have to sift through those as well and kind of decide, what I want to do. Some people are friends of mine. Some people just have an outstanding reputation. But regardless, I think the main thing is there has to be something unique about the program that I think will appeal not only to me but to the fairly sophisticated audiences that we have in Kalamazoo. I mean, we really have. I think we can shy away from programs of toe-tapping little ditties or whatever and do things that are more substantial and have an audience that really appreciates this. I mean, last spring, Al Divi from Detroit came and they sang this Little Matchstick Girl Passion, this David Lang piece, which again uses all sorts of, you know, really wonderful, colorful 20th century techniques and that sort of thing. And we had about 80 people out for that and they were absolutely enamored with it. So, you know, it's really, it's a great spot to be able to, it's a great place to be able to perform all kinds of music, very serious music, you know, and not have to worry about, you know, is this over everyone's head?
Yeah, I hope that continues. It takes families exposing their kids to all kinds of music real early on, participating in music. It's so easy to do here, but if you don't think to do it, if you don't try, we will lose touch with the great wealth of music available to us and our ability to appreciate it.
Yeah, and the Crescendo Academy is doing a wonderful thing too by providing a lot of that instruction, giving kids an outlet to be able to study, perform. Kalamazoo Junior Symphony, of course, Kalamazoo Children's Chorus, lots and lots of opportunities.
Right, not just Crescendo. There's hundreds of programs and private teachers all out there for those of us who just love this art form. And sounds like you're going to have a great time tonight, Tom. Any final thoughts on the program? Did we cover most of the music?
Just a quick rundown. I'll open with an early North German preludium by Nicholas Bruns, probably his most popular piece, dubbed The Great in the 19th century. Then the flute clock pieces, then the Bach piece that we'll hear we'll hear the fugue from in a minute. The Parrot piece, and then I'm going to play a movement of the Mystical Organ by Charles Tournemire, who was a very early 20th century French composer, very much in a romantic idiom. A slow movement of Charles-Marie Vidor's Second Organ Symphony, and then closing with the piece that you opened the interview with, this Reger Introduction and Passacaglia, which, as you heard, is quite a striking and dramatic piece.
Yes, anyone who got a little sleepy will wake up.
Certainly, yes.
Oh, Tom, it's good to touch base again, and great luck with your concert tonight at 7:00.
Thanks so much, Kara.